Now with this attempt from 58 from the right hash mark. The snap back, the placement by Long.
Nice.
The kick is blocked.
Scoop
it's blocked.
Score.
It's bouncing in the open field.
Go.
It's picked up by the Patriots. And running down the sideline is Devin McCourty to the five, to the end zone. Devin McCourty off the block field goal attempt. Picking it up and running it in for a touchdown, Patriots.
Special teams, touchdown, and there's a party in the end zone.
All three phases, everybody. Devin McCourty blocking the field goal to return it to make it 28-0 Patriots. That's part of your Avidia Bank turnover recap here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Avidia Bank and Stephon Gilmore have teamed up for Be a Champion for a Child to benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Metro West. New England's defense forcing two turnovers, so Avidia Bank donating $2,000 to help at-risk children. They've donated $18,000 this season. Avidia Bank, honest to goodness, member FDIC, member DIF. It's Jim Murray and Joe Murray here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show, and we are joined here as we are after each and every Patriots game this season by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Patriots 45-0 winners over the Chargers today. Greg, they're finally at 500. They're 6-6. Is this their most complete and impressive win of 2020?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, look, Jim, at this point, it's hard to think back to, you know, the Dolphins game or the Raiders game. I mean, I don't, that was so long ago and so long ago for this team. It's tough to really go back to those games. And I remember, you know, like the Raiders game, Newton did not play well
right
in that game at all. And so, yeah, I think, look, was this a great performance from Cam Newton throwing the ball? No, but I think it was a well-rounded game for him, sort of a game that's in his wheelhouse. And then you factor in the defense pitching a shutout, the special teams, what they did today. I think there's no doubt that this is their complete win of the season.
All right, Greg, so this week Cam Newton was on the injury report. He was limited with an abdomen. We don't know if it was an injury. It was just that was what was on the injury report. Do you think there was anything to possibly Jarrett Stidham getting reps this week and possibly motivating Cam Newton, because it was the Cam show today for the Patriots?
I do not, Joe. I was open to that, but the people that I talked to, they said it was a legit injury, and I assume it stems from that blast that he took on that 14-yard run late in that game against the Cardinals, because my immediate reaction was, oh, my God, that looked like the Bledsoe hit. And we all know the damage that that hit did to Bledsoe. I thought it was very similar in terms of impact and where it was on the field and things like that. From what I was told, it was a legit injury, but also that, you know, Cam sort of battled through things. There was no sort of possibility that this was a cover story or anything for some sort of move that they wanted to make. I think that Cam, like we talked about, I think last week, Cam's the starter until they fall out of the playoff race, and then things are open, but yeah, it's his job right now.
As great as this win was, and people, I can understand why, you know, they're feeling really good about this, because again, it's all three phases. That felt like, it's reminded me of just like, it's one of those blowouts you expected from a few years ago, like the Monday nighter against the Jets last year. But I don't know, there are things that, let's pick some nits. Do you look at Kenneth Murray, their rookie linebacker of the Chargers, who's all over the field today? I think he had, what, Joe, like 14 tackles. Do you look at him and say, like, that's one you kind of missed out on, especially as they're that, you know, they're thin at that position?
I think so. I mean, when I watched the Chargers on film coming into this game, I watched Murray pretty closely. And look, the kid makes a lot of mistakes, but it's – you know, this isn't like Jerod Mayo playing a lot as a rookie with the Patriots after being, I think he was the 10th overall pick. Murray was more, I think it was the 23rd spot, the Patriots spot, actually. You know, so it was, they traded down and they got Duggar and Uche. So, you know, of course you're going to hear from Patriots fans who think that those two players combined are going to be better than Kenneth Murray. And they might be right. I thought Murray, for the most part, was impressive today. He looked like he had a bead on their running game and was really, crashing in there. But I know he's made a lot of mistakes this season and has had a tough time with the mental side of the game. That's a lot to put on a rookie linebacker with no preseason, no training camp, all that crap. Look, he was – if the Patriots stayed at 23, he was the guy I put in my mock draft to the Patriots. I've been clamoring for – a good athletic inside linebacker for years. Darius Leonard was a guy that I wanted instead in that draft. So, I could definitely see a guy like Murray upgrading this defense.
Hey, Greg, the defense since the second half of the Texans game has been really impressive. For me, I think it's an inside pass rush, Adam Butler in particular. But what other things have you seen on this defense that has made them, you know, basically been dominant over the last couple of games?
Sure, Joe. Yeah, they have done a better job, and I heard you talking about it earlier, and I agree. They have been better. You know, I'll just look, not to take anything away from the Patriots, because I do think that they are – it's really two things to me, Joe. They're doing a little bit more up front in terms of scheming, bringing guys from the second level, a little bit more of the amoeba. I mean, really, it was – you know, the Texans game was just terrible. And don't even put – you might be able to say – point to some stats and say that they were better in the second half of the Texans game. Let's just throw that out because they were not good in the Texans game. But against the Cardinals and the Chargers, they were better. And I do think that they're doing a little bit more. I do think that the coaches saw what a lot of us saw when they watched the game film, which was they were completely inept up front and didn't do anything, and they got ripped apart. So the coaches are scheming up a little bit more for them to do. But look, the other side of the coin, and this, I'm sorry, this is a fact, and this is not trying to take away from anything that the Patriots are doing. The Cardinals, where they are injury-wise, and the Chargers, where they are injury-wise right now, are two of the worst offensive lines in football. They're awful.
Well, are they down to their, like, fourth left tackle or something today?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, it's they just got Bulaga back at right tackle. He's been hurt a lot. The interior's terrible. You look at the PFF rankings for all these guys in terms of allowed pressure. All of these guys outside of Bulaga, because he was a bit of a surprise that he was back at right tackle, but all these guys are like 60 or under. It was the same thing with the Cardinals the week before. The Patriots play the Rams. Traditionally, you know, Whitworth's hurt, so I don't know. I haven't taken a look at how well they're doing, but they're not traditionally all that great either. But to me, it's 50-50 between the coaches are doing more because they saw what was on the Houston tape and it was awful, and also they played two terrible offensive lines.
All right, more coming up with Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. You want to get on with Greg, 617-779-0985. Patriots' most impressive win of the year, 45-0 over the L.A. Chargers out in L.A., now 6-6 on the season. The path, how's it looking? We'll get Greg's take on that coming up next on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show here in the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
Two backs to the right of Newton in and eye. Johnson and Harris. Cam from the gun takes the snap. He's going to run it. The quarterback straight ahead, powering his way toward the goal line, pushing defenders across. Touchdown, Patriots!
Call another timeout.
Cam Newton with a two-yard touchdown run to make it 21-0 Patriots at the time in their eventual 45-0 win over the L.A. Chargers today. That's part of your New England Ford Dealers rushing update. New England Ford Dealers, where the Ford built for the holiday sales event is in full swing with great deals across the Ford lineup. Hurry in for the best selection at your New England Ford Dealers. Jim Murray and Joe Murray here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show, joined by Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. All right, Greg, so they're at 500, 6-6, mathematically still alive. The path, it still is there, but they didn't get much help today, especially with that tank job at the end of the Jets game. Raiders end up beating the Jets on the road. Indianapolis beats Houston today. The Browns, with maybe the most impressive win of the weekend, they go to Tennessee and blow the Titans' doors off. How are you feeling after this game, especially as impressive it was for the Patriots? You still believe in the path? Can this team squeak in?
I do believe in the path. I think I feel a little bit better about it, and I think I saw some statistics on NBC that I think the Patriots' chances of making the playoffs went from about 12% up to somewhere in the 20s, like 27%, 29%.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that feels right to me. Look, I was looking at it earlier, and I still believe that 10-6 is going to have to be the number. You need a lot of help for it to be 9-7. So I think the Patriots are going to have to win out, with which is going to be tough enough as it is. But to me, looking at it, you got to let go of the Browns. The Browns are in. They're in, and the Colts are likely going to be in. So really, it comes down to the seventh spot and what the Patriots need to hope for. You know, whether it's 10-6 or what have you, or even possibly 9-7, given the Dolphins' closing schedule, which is pretty tough. The Patriots need to hope for a four-way tie between the Dolphins. That's the Patriots obviously have to sweep them. The Dolphins have the Chiefs coming up, so that easily gets them to six losses. A four-way tie between the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Ravens, and the Patriots. Because in that case, if those four teams are tied, the Patriots win the tiebreaker over all of them. Because the way it works is, first you go by division, and so the Patriots, by coming in second in the AFC East over the Dolphins because they sweep them, the Dolphins are eliminated. Then it goes to a head-to-head scenario, and the Patriots are 2-0 against those teams, so they advance. So that's what you need to hope for, and I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Hey, just staying on that, obviously the Rams are coming up, then the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets. I look at all these teams that you just mentioned, and the Patriots could potentially lose to the Rams and take care of the AFC East. You look at all these teams in the playoffs here, Greg, is the defense and the special teams, can they continue to win that way against these teams and somehow still have a chance for the playoffs?
I think so, just because I'm not scared of any of these teams offensively. I think the Patriots, they know very well how to defend the Rams. And not only did we see that in the Super Bowl, but they know in there, you know, we've seen some work that they've gone against other guys from the same tree, the Shanahan tree. Now, look, they got blown out against the 49ers, but the 49ers were great that day. And they're a lot more, in my opinion, they're a lot better all around offensively in terms of talent than, say, the Rams are. I don't think the Rams are very good. I think the Patriots know what to do against Goff. I'm not afraid of the Rams, the Dolphins, or the Bills outscoring the Patriots. I mean, look, do I think that the Patriots are going to win any, 27-24 games against those teams? Probably not, but we've all known for a long time that there's a path for this team offensively, and it's, they can't turn the ball over. They got to run the ball well. They have to stop the run to get the opponent into long yardage, and so that they can cover and rush with effectiveness. And I think they can do that against any of the four teams that they play down the stretch.
Jake in Boston, you're on with Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and Greg Bedard here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show after the Pats shutout win over the Chargers today. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, 3 points here. First of all, in this weird, wild 2020, today may have been the closest to normalcy the New England sports scene has had this year. The path math is simple. Win out and you're in. If you don't, you're screwed. But today was a nice return to what we've come to expect around this part, these parts of this time of year. Second, on Stidham, not only did Jared Stidham get reps, boys, but even with the state of California in the current, bizarre, insane lockdown state that it is, the Stidham click is out in California right now. The wives are out there. They're in Southern California. They're on the border and with Mexico somewhere, but they were ready. So he was more prepared than a lot of people initially thought to come into this game. And then lastly, Anthony Lynn is getting fired, obviously. Whether it comes tomorrow or at the end of the season remains to be seen. And it was obvious that his team quit on him. So what Bill did, letting Stidham gun it out here in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left of, 35-37-0. That was insult to injury. And it's interesting because the Rooney Rule is getting a reexamination this year. Did you guys know that if the Chargers were to go and hire Eric Bieniemy from Kansas City, the Chiefs get 2 third-round picks? So you're not going to see a Brian Flores type of in-division hire because teams don't want to give their opponents valuable draft pick compensation. And I think that makes Josh McDaniels even more likely to go there after today.
Thanks, Jake. What's Greg, refresh my memory. What's he talking about with that wrinkle there with the Rooney Rule?
I'm not exactly sure on it. I mean, I know they added that rule where if there's some sort of compensation involved. Whoever hires a minority assistant, then the team that developed that assistant gets compensation. I think it's a third round pick. I forget exactly what it was because I don't really pay attention to this stuff during the season.
Well, just on,
something along those lines.
Just on this game with Belichick and Anthony Lynn, was this the biggest coaching mismatch you've watched of the year? It felt like it to me.
No question. I felt bad for him because I think the world of Anthony Lynn as a man. He's a great guy. And he's a great guy in the NFL, and he's been a great assistant coach for a long time, going back to Parcells. But it was a complete mismatch in terms of coaching divisions. Belichick's a heavyweight, Lynn was a flyweight in this thing, and it was a knockout, very early on, and that was tough to watch.
It just never ceases to amaze me how Belichick nullifies a guy that you typically have to worry about. Like Joey Bosa last week against Buffalo, I think he had 3 sacks. He's all over the field. Today, 3 tackles, 1 for a loss.
Personal foul, too.
That's just like, of course he does nothing in this game. And you expect like, oh, no, when Cam Newton's had problems with the rush and Bosa's probably going to have a good game. Nothing.
Well, don't forget about Hunter Henry, too.
All right, more coming up with Greg Bedard here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. You want to join us here, 617-779-0985. Joe Murray's going to also have the headlines here. But first, let's pause. 10 seconds for station identification on the Safety Insurance 98.5 Sports of Patriots Radio Network.
Second down and 9+ with a drop back off play action. Newton's in trouble. Moves up away from Bosa. Sprints straight ahead past the 30. Hanging right outside the hash marks with a dive to the 40. Cam Newton got away from Bosa, avoiding the sack with a sprint straight ahead to a first down Patriot.
14-yard run there for Patriots quarterback Cam Newton. New England converting 22 first downs today. That's another $2,200 donated by Credit Union's Kids at Heart to the Team Jack Foundation to fight pediatric brain cancer and help researchers one day find a cure. More at creditunionskidsatheart.org. This is the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Jim Murray, Joe Murray, and Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. Patriots 45-0 winners over the L.A. Chargers today, now 6-6 on the year. And, Greg, I want to go back to something that Jake in Boston, who was on with us in the prior segment, brought up. He brought up Josh McDaniels' name in regard to the Chargers, because it does feel like any day now Anthony Lynn will be fired as head coach of the L.A. Chargers, whether it's before the season's over, at the end of the season, he'll be out. What do you make of that as a spot for McDaniels, potentially going there and working with Justin Herbert, who I couldn't have been more wrong on. I typically don't like the Oregon quarterbacks there, Greg, but that kid looks like he's got all the tools.
Yeah, well, I mean, on Herbert, you're not the only one. I mean, I was off on that. I mean, look, did I think he was the third quarterback in this class? Yeah. I mean, he might end up being the second best one. But a lot of people were off on this kid just because of the Oregon offense. And really, you didn't see much aggression and downfield throwing. And you thought, it's hard to tell as outsiders. Like, is that the kid? Does he not have, is he more Derek Carr than Patrick Mahomes? Or what's the deal? But I think that he obviously had that in him, and it was the scheme. But as far as McDaniels, personally, I can't think of a better match for Josh McDaniels in terms of a job opening than that one. In terms of not only you have the quarterback there, there's a lot of talent. I mean, between Derwin James, Ingram, I think is going to be a free agent, so you probably let him go. But you have Bosa there, you have Kenneth Murray at linebacker. You could have Hunter Henry, the tight end, back on the franchise tag again if you need to. Keenan Allen, obviously. They have talent in the backfield. You do have to revamp the offensive line. But so I think overall the talent's there. It's not a situation where you're going and it's barren and you have to totally rebuild. And I think there's some good players there in terms of guys that you can hit the ground running with. And I think for the Chargers, I think a guy like McDaniels makes a lot of sense because in that division – with the Chiefs already established, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. They have Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, great coaching staff. John Gruden's charging hard up on the outside, I think, with what they're building with Mike Mayock in Vegas. And so you can't, in my opinion, you cannot afford to bring in some wet behind the ears guy who has been a career assistant or maybe comes from the college ranks. Like, that is just, to me, that's a recipe for disaster. You need someone who can come in, hit the ground running, knows how to compete with the Chiefs, especially Josh McDaniels. Look at the way the Patriots have done against the Chiefs every year. You know, while Mahomes has been on the upswing, I mean, even this year, you know, a couple more plays out of the quarterback, they pull an upset in Kansas City. And you know, it's obviously it's the defense too, but Josh has been in those meetings and knows how Bill looks to defend the Chiefs. So I think you put all those things together, and I think that McDaniels makes a ton of sense for the Chargers.
I feel like there's no gray area for him with fans, and you know, you're either like you're screaming about him, or you think he's like, you know, he should be the next head coach somewhere. For me, I think he's overachieved this year, Greg. Like for every one play, every once in a while, like Olszewski on the sweep last week, like what are you doing? I think he's made chicken salad out of chicken crap for the most part.
I agree with you, and you know, look, and sometimes I'm tough on him and Cam and other people, and I certainly was last year at the end of last season. But look, I just don't think people understand how hard it is to move an NFL offense when you have absolutely nobody who's a difference maker on offense. I mean, look, Damian Harris is good, but you need good run blocking to have good runs, and the Patriots have had that, so they've been productive. But I mean, they have no wide receivers. The wide receivers they do have on the team, at best, they're number two. Most places, they're number threes. They have zero tight ends. They have a number three tight end any place else. And for them, if you look back, really, I forget since it's when, maybe the second half of the Bills game, if you look at the offensive production, and last week was, in my opinion, was an aberration just because of how bad Newton was in that game personally. They've really been highly productive offensively in terms of drives and putting up points. Certainly, they haven't been great in the red zone, but I agree with you. You know, I think Josh McDaniels has done a really good job. It's a tough situation bringing in a guy like Cam, who's a unique talent, to a completely new offense in these circumstances, and for them to basically hold their own offensively, largely for the most part this year, I think he has done a good job.
Today was definitely an audition, right? It was the wild pat that they threw out there, screen passes, option plays. Hopefully, if he can become a coach, maybe he can find a special teams coach for the Chargers today. I saw this a little while ago. Do you know how many players they had on the field on the Patriots four punts today? 11, 10, 12, and 10.
Yeah.
that's like a couple weeks ago, we were all over Gunnar Olszewski for his embarrassment. This is 10 times worse, and look how far he's coming through.
And they've been penalized 17 times on special teams this year, Greg. It feels like, and that's been a thing with them since they've been in San Diego. Like, their special teams is always a disaster, especially when they play the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing with McDaniels, number one about the special teams thing, the staff that he was going to hire in Indy, the guys that the Colts retained, they've all done a really good job, especially the defensive coordinator, Eberflus, who I had never even heard of, and he was going to be McDaniels' defensive coordinator. Wright kept him on, and their defense has been spectacular the past couple of years. So that's promising. In general, I think that I think it's huge that Josh understands the Chiefs, that he knows what it takes. He can hit the ground running. And look, Denver was not good for him. He will be the first one to tell you he made a ton of mistakes. But he's also learned from a lot of those mistakes. And you know, you're hoping that you get sort of Belichick 2.0 because, look, Belichick in Cleveland wasn't great, no matter what Mike Lombardi has to say about it. And you're hoping that Josh McDaniels goes through the same thing where he learned the lessons and applied them the second time around.
All right, more coming up with Greg Bedard. One more segment with him. If you want to get on, 617-779-0985 here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. Again, Patriots 45-0. Blowout win over the Chargers on the road. Get Greg's thoughts on the Rams coming up on Thursday night. Again, that's coming up here. Shaw's Patriots postgame show with Jim Murray, Joe Murray, Greg Bedard, and the Safety Insurance, 98.5 of Sports, a Patriots Radio Network.
Newton in the pistol now to abandon the pocket as the Patriots go Wildcat with Harris as the Wildcat back. He takes the snap behind Johnson, runs it straight up the middle, and carries a defender out across the 45 with a dive to the 48-yard line.
Time for the Stop and Chop 5 yards update. Damian Harris with a 15-yard run there, running hard again. The Patriots 45-0 win over the LA Chargers today. Stop and Shop and New England running back Sony Michel. We saw Sony Michel today as well. have teamed up for 5 Yards for Families. For every 5 Yards rushing, Stop and Shop donating 5 bags of groceries for hungry families. New England has rushed for now 1,811 yards this season, so Stop and Shop donates 1,811 bags of groceries, up to 2,500 bags. Jim Murray, Joe Murray here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show. One more segment with Greg Bedard at BostonSportsJournal.com. And Greg, just give us a few minutes on the Rams here, if you would. This game coming up on Thursday night, short week. We were talking earlier, maybe, you know, there could be some concern about even getting this game played in L.A. because the coronavirus numbers are, like, out of control in L.A. County. But apparently that's been that story's kind of died down, that there would be concern about that. The game is going to be played still in L.A. at SoFi Stadium. But on the Rams, who won today in Arizona, like, they're wildly talented receiving core. I know Chris Gasper of Channel 5, you know, when we've worked on the weekends, he feels like the Rams are going to play this, like, you know, Super Bowl revenge game for them. I don't know. Like, I still don't believe in the quarterback. Like, I think Sean McVay's had a good year. They focus more on the defense. They're playing better on that side of the ball. But the weak link is Jared Goff, and I think the Patriots will be able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that the Rams are better on the defensive side. I am just looking at the Pro Football Focus sort of ratings, and their offensive line is actually pretty good. The thing, when I've watched the Rams, the thing that stood out is just how fast they are up front defensively. Like, not only just Aaron Donald, but just in general, that whole group up there. I mean, whether it's Brockers or Ekuban or Floyd or a whole bunch of them, and what's his name? Wade Phillips is not there anymore.
Right.
So it's not as predictable. I think that was a good change by McVay to change coordinators. So that has changed. I think they play faster defensively. So that, to me, going against the Rams, that's my biggest concern that we've seen. And I thought they made progress with Newton this week in terms of speeding up him in the pocket. And also, I thought he showed better awareness of the rush on a few occasions. One time he did not, and he got sacked. But I thought there was definite progress there. They need to continue it, because if he's playing on his speed and the Rams bring their normal speed on their home turf, where I think they are 4-1 at home, they're 3-3 away, that's going to be a fast game. So he needs to be ready to go and be fast, or it's going to be a long night for the Patriots offense.
Jared Goff threw the ball 47 times today, 350 yards. They have a decent running game. Cam Akers, a rookie, Darrell Henderson, came in a year ago. But are they a threat to run against the Patriots, who have struggled this year at times to stop the rush?
I think so. I think I like Henderson. I like him a lot. I think he's a good back. And I think that McVay, I haven't watched them closely, but I know they sort of lost their way last year where they got away from the running game. And really, Goff is a quarterback that needs everything around him to be good, to be effective. He needs a good running game. He needs the play action game to work. And so if they have those things going, if they're balanced, I think he's more dangerous than he is. If, you know, it'd be great if the Patriots could score fast and get ahead and play their game. If not, then it's going to be dicey.
I want to go back to a couple of things offensively and for Josh McDaniels and how he schemed this game up today. And Joe, was thinking about this earlier. Did on that Nikhil Harry touchdown where he posted up in the end zone, were they using him as almost like a de facto tight end at that point, Greg?
Well, it's funny that you say that. Now, I haven't gone back and looked at the play. I'm trying to look it up right now. But I will say that earlier, I don't know if it was on that drive or earlier in the game, I was like, that's kind of interesting that Nikhil Harry, and actually I am looking at it right now. So he was in the right slot. I did notice him earlier in the game. I was like, that's funny, because he was in the same sort of position. I was like, you don't usually see him there. He's usually the left boundary X receiver. And he was playing more in the slot in this game. And not that's notable for a couple things. Number one, it's a demotion, because if he was still a one or a two, he would be in that X spot on the left side. He's not. So he's more of the number three. But where he lined up, yeah, I mean, it's 2 yards detached from the tackle. So you could say it's more of a tight end position, and it certainly was a tight end route. And that's something that we've talked about the past couple of weeks, where I think he's done as a receiver largely in this league. I don't think it's going to happen for him there, but I do think he has potential in terms of his physicality, his mental makeup, that I do think he can make that transition. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, whoa, what about his blocking? First of all, he blocks okay. Second of all, nobody blocks well at the tight end position. I mean, not even Travis Kelce blocks well. Now, Kittle does, but it's few and far between. The rookies coming into the league, they don't block worth a damn. So it's not that big of a stretch.
And with the game plan today, it did feel like it was geared towards more Cam Newton just getting comfortable, and it was, you know, very run heavy. So do you think it will be more sub 100 yard passing games for Cam Newton for the remainder of the season? Or is that just, that's just a dangerous game to play when this team is still trying to make a playoff push?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that, I think this was a very balanced, I think in the first half, I think Cam had like 48 passing yards and like 46 running or vice versa. It was very 50-50. I think they realize that's probably a strength. I do think that they've gotten back to basics with him. I do think that they, that in terms of they wanted to see better pocket awareness from him, so they maybe simplified things. I don't know if that's sustainable for them in every single game. I think that they were very comfortable looking at the Chargers on film and against a scheme that they've absolutely owned for several years now. Even the in the Seahawks game, they own that. It's the same scheme with Gus Bradley as it's the Seattle cover three. And so I think they were very comfortable in their game plan. McDaniels owns that scheme. And so I think it was a combination of those things where they knew what they could do and what they could not do against the scheme. One thing we did not talk about that I did want to just mention is just I thought the uses of Jared Stidham in this game was interesting in that, you know, he came in a mop-up role. And most of the time that is – handoff. If we're in long yardage third down, then you can throw. For them to throw on, you know, three or four plays when he came in and to throw down the field and with play action, that's significant. That was not mop-up duty. They wanted to see what he could do.
This is what Joe was saying, right?
Oh, listen, he looked off the safety. He looked him off. Gunner ran a little seam and then ran right inside. He threw it and no one else was. And you saw yards after the catch. Can you believe that? Yards after a catch for a Patriots receiver. But that was a hell of a throw. And he did, if you watch it again, looks off the safety. And Gunner's right in the middle. And it was a hell of a run by Gunner, too.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to sing Jarrett's praises yet, because that first pass was terrible and underthrown. And we'll see against a better
secondary.
He's got to get warmed
up, though, you know? He's got to get warmed up, you know?
And the second throw was a little bit – against a better secondary might have been problematic. But I will say, look, to me that was Bill Belichick whispering in Josh's ear saying, hey, let's see what the kid can do. Because, look, they could get in a situation, say, you know, maybe not, you know, down the stretch here or in the next couple weeks – but say they get into a postseason game or they get into a do-or-die game and it is not happening for Cam, at least Jarrett has some confidence that he can execute the downfield throwing game for this team and that the coaches know that he can do it without throwing an interception, something that he hasn't done since last year.
And you don't think that that's bad sportsmanship or anything? Because apparently Trent Green was losing his mind on the TV broadcast. I didn't hear it, but Zoe was talking about it on the end of the here on our broadcast.
Look, if I was on the outside looking in, like Trent Green and these type of announcers who just come in and they read clippings and they don't really study the team, they don't know the team, I would think the same thing that Trent did. Because it's 38-0, and they were basically bombing the ball down the field on all of Jarrett's passes other than the one to Michelle. You know, the two deep passes, those were legit deep field shots. You do not do that up 38-0, but I think another thing working for the Patriots there where they let it happen, they know that coaching staff is getting fired. They know it's not going to come back and haunt them. If it was a different coach and they were just having a bad year in like their first year, Belichick wouldn't have done that. But I think everyone sees the writing on the wall and there was no fear of any later repercussions.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd be the first to call them out on it if I thought it was, you know, cheesy, but I think they do have to kind of see what they have in the kid, considering how,
absolutely,
how limited in terms of his real play has been. And, you know, I don't think there's any bad blood there between him and Anthony Lynn or him and the Chargers. If this was the Jets, you know, that's a different thing. But, and just quick before we let you go, did you see how that game ended? Now, talking about bad sportsmanship, what did you make of that and how Greg Williams handled that situation?
Okay, I don't know anything about the bad sportsmanship. I mean, I just saw the touchdown pass because then I had to get in the Patriots game. look, you could look at it both ways. I could see both sides that perhaps the Jets were throwing the game. You could make that argument. I will also say this. Anybody who's watched Greg Williams' film over the years knows that's what he does. On the previous play, granted it was the red zone and it was a different situation, he went cover zero blitz. You talk to any coordinators when they go against Greg Williams, they know that they're going to get in a big spot. They are going to get cover zero blitz no matter where it is on the field, no matter what the situation is. He's going to do it, and you see people try to burn him deep. That is part of the deal with Greg Williams. It always has been.
All right, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, bostonsportsjournal.com. We will hear from you Tuesday, your usual spot on Filger and Mazza, 98.5 of Sports Hub, from 2 to 4 p.m. Thanks, Greg.
I look forward to the Alex Smith talk.
Take care. Right. Again, Greg Bedard, bostonsportsjournal.com. Give him a subscription if you haven't, bostonsportsjournal.com.
Good holiday gift.
Yes, very much so. I know he was running the Cyber Monday deal. Don't know if that's still going on, but go check that out. We'll hear from Gunnar Olszewski. Out a big day in the Patriots 45-0 win today in L.A. A couple of touchdowns for Gunnar. We'll hear from him after today's win. That's all coming up after the headlines here on the Shaw's Patriots postgame show.